This is The Takeaway, and I'm Lizzie O'Leary in for Tanzina Vega. Over the past few days, President Trump has once again been promoting the use of the drug hydroxychloroquine as an effective treatment for the coronavirus. That's a drug traditionally used to treat malaria and autoimmune diseases like lupus. Trump announced on Sunday that the government had bought 29 million doses of the drug, even though there is unclear evidence of its efficacy in helping coronavirus patients.
If it does work, it would be a shame if we didn't do it early. But we have some very good science. I've seen things that I sort of like. So what do I know? I'm not a doctor.
But a lot of doctors are riled up by the president's promotion of hydroxychloroquine as an untested treatment for coronavirus. According to reporting from Axios, it's led to infighting at the White House's coronavirus task force between economic advisor Peter Navarro and infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci, who has called the evidence of the drug's efficacy merely anecdotal. Peter Didon is the Singapore professor of infectious disease at MIT, and he joins me now to talk about hydroxychloroquine. Peter, thanks for coming on.
Hello, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Can you explain what exactly hydroxychloroquine is? I'm sure a lot of people are hearing that name for the first time over the past few weeks.
So hydroxychloroquine's a very old drug. It was developed in 1955. It's been used to treat two major diseases. One is malaria. But besides that, it's also used to treat autoimmune diseases, and it's even more widely used for that. Things like lupus and certain kinds of rheumatoid arthritis. This is a frontline drug for those diseases.
I should note, actually, that I have an autoimmune disease, Sjogren's syndrome, and that I've been on hydroxychloroquine myself for several years. I'm not on it now because I'm pregnant. But this is something that really is knit into the daily life of someone with a rheumatic disease. How important is continuing that therapy if you have lupus, RA, something like that?
Oh, it is the frontline drug for lupus. And discontinuing it, all your symptoms and problems are gonna worsen. This is a chronic therapy. This isn't just a short term like an antibiotic kind of thing. People that take it need it permanently, unless they have something else to fall back on, another drug.
We have heard President Trump say, what do you have to lose by using it to treat coronavirus? But I'd like to get your take on that, because there is something to lose here.
Well, there is. By proposing to use it for COVID, there's going to be millions of people who will want prescriptions. If that robs the people who really need it of having the drug available, they're going to suffer. The second problem with this is that it is not altogether clear that hydroxychloroquine works for treating COVID. There's some anecdotal evidence. We do need clinical trials, true clinical trials that really show the efficacy. The reports I've seen have not shown impressive efficacy in treating the disease. If someone were in a desperate situation and they're on death's door, then why not try this drug? I agree with that strategy based on the anecdotal evidence that's out there. But for someone who's just got a fever right now and is showing some symptoms, there are terrible side effects in using this drug. And it's not worth the risk of trying it on someone who doesn't have established COVID disease or who isn't very, very severe with COVID.
Peter, what would constitute enough evidence to show in a well-controlled clinical trial that hydroxychloroquine works for COVID?
Well, the way these trials are set up, you have to get hundreds to thousands of patients. You can't tell them what they're taking. They either get placebo or some other treatment, or they get the hydroxychloroquine. They don't know. You don't want placebo effects taking place. So you need these hundreds to thousands of patients. You test to see if you do get statistically significant therapeutic effect. And that's the question right now, is that we're not seeing really statistically significant therapeutic effects taking place. It's a small effect. If it's a large effect and it happens in hundreds to thousands of patients, then you're done. And if it's safe and efficacious, that's what the FDA demands of all drugs.
And the studies from France and anecdotal evidence in China do not meet that bar, in your opinion?
Those have only had tens of patients, and the margin of efficacy is not all that impressive. It's pretty small relative to the placebo effect in the patients that didn't get it.
On Sunday, the FDA made an emergency use authorization for experimental use of the drug from the national stockpile. How rare is that for the FDA to say, okay, go ahead?
It is pretty rare. And it is only in the most dire of circumstances that you would do that. This is indeed a dire circumstance. You've got a disease that has no therapy whatsoever. So you're going to try whatever shows any promise. That's good for preparing a clinical trial to do it, but that's not good for actually starting to distribute the drug to people who ask for it or for doctors who prescribe it. That can run into a danger. This is not a non-toxic drug. And in fact, one of the toxicities I didn't mention before was that it's an immunosuppressive drug. That's how it works against autoimmune disease.
Yeah, it suppresses your immune system. The president said that the FDA gave it, quote, rapid approval, but is that accurate?
Not in the sense of saying that this was now approved from clinical trials to be efficacious and safe. They gave it an emergency approval for use only by physicians in the most dire of circumstances.
There is anecdotal evidence, and indeed I have heard this from the doctor who manages my own autoimmune disease, of hoarding, of kind of just-in-case prescribing. How have you and your colleagues reacted to that?
Well, I honestly, I don't know firsthand of seeing people hoarding the drug. I've heard this in the news reports, in the media. I believe it. I would imagine that it's just like toilet paper and Clorox wipes and everything else. If the drug shows any promise, the general public's going to want to have some. This is wrong. This is simply wrong. What's going to happen if the manufacturers can't keep production up to meet the demands of people hoarding it, then the people who truly need it, the autoimmune sufferers, malaria victims worldwide, won't have the drug available for them, and people will die.
We have heard a lot of information from the president, but elsewhere too, about drugs and treatments that are purportedly for the coronavirus. What is the best way that people can ensure that they aren't being duped, that they're using something that may have some clinical efficacy?
There is nothing. There is nothing out there that has clinical efficacy at this point. You know, washing your hands, keeping distant, don't touch your face. All those kinds of silly hygiene issues are the best way to prevent it. Since there is no cure, you've got to prevent it. Anything on the internet about a drug, I just received a comment by email about artemisinin. There's no evidence whatsoever that this is going to work. So people are flailing around trying to find or promote irrationally promote some snake oil. There is no treatment yet, and we have to wait to see the truly proven safe and efficacious drugs that might work against COVID-19, and they may come.
Peter Didon is the Singapore Professor of Infectious Disease at MIT. Peter, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.